Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Talk about it. That's poet Mary Oliver, and this is Everyday Wonder, a podcast where we turn down the volume on all the shouting that's going on these days so we can talk about the things that really matter. And today, the conversation we're going to have is about how wonder can help us get out of something we all experience one time or another, and that's being in a rut. I'm Brett Will Taylor, and joining me is my co-host Renee Peck, our forever guest, the City of New Orleans, which has been helping people find their way out of ruts for 301 years, and our kind of our resident bon vivant, James Bronwell Williams. So welcome, each of you and all three of you, for being here, and welcome, listeners. There was a survey done last year that found that 50% of Americans find themselves in a rut, and 75% are just generally frustrated. Renee, which of the 50% are you? Are you in a rut today or are you not?
Both. I think all of us get in ruts and out of ruts at different times in our lives. And I will say that New Orleans is a city that, as you say, probably keeps us more entertained and more aware of wonder than most. Although, as far as ruts go, if you've been on my street, you know that New Orleans can definitely put you into ruts, too, in the way of potholes and whatever. But I think that at various times in our lives, we are more or less engaged and aware of the beauty of things around us. I'm at a time in my life right now where I'm not really in such a rut, but I have been in ruts in my life when I was married and had three kids and working full time and had no energy or time or imagination to imagine life outside of my rut. I came up with a way to try to combat that, and that was every morning I would think, what is one thing I can look forward to today? And sometimes it was a TV show that was on once a week. Sometimes it was a Snickers bar that I had secreted in my purse. Sometimes it was a meeting with a friend. Sometimes it was something one of my kids was doing. But by consciously trying to find a way to make each day something to look forward to instead of mindlessly following our paths, it helped me get out of a rut. So I still try to do that.
And I think that's an awesome thing. And I want to take that apart a little bit later, but also, James, give you a chance. So see, now you've had the benefit of being the second person to answer the question, and you probably have you've thought about the answer, but are you in a rut today or not in a rut?
I'm not in a rut today, actually.
Lucky bastard.
I know. I find
both
it kind
of you.
It comes and goes, but for the most part, I don't really necessarily find myself to be in a rut. Not that I don't get frustrated or concerned about things, but I do have a moment sometimes I'll take a step back and realize things aren't as bad as they could be. Even as challenging as they are, I try to go past that somehow and look around. I love what you just said about New Orleans. It's like there's so much around us to me that just makes me happy, that just takes my mind off of it. And I do set little goals for myself to make myself, you know, get excited, like after I'm going to have a hamburger when I leave here today. That was my big inspiration for the day. I understand, though, people's frustrations, and I do feel fortunate that I don't necessarily feel that way about my life, even though at times I do become frustrated.
God love you both for not being in a rut right now, because as I was getting ready for today's episode, one of the things that I was reminded of, and this is so typical that we try to shut this stuff down, is I've been in a rut, and I've been in a rut probably for 2 or 3 weeks, and the reason I've been in a rut is the reason I think a lot of us get in a rut, which is I've been really busy, I've been doing way too much that I should be doing in a compressed amount of time, and I've been doing it well. And I think that's one of the mind fucks of the universe, is like just when everything is going great, and just when you're like, I'm rut free, I'm doing great, she's like, oh honey, you know, let's just have a little fun, and we're just gonna plip, knock you off your game, and send you cascading into a rut. And when all of this died down, all of my busyness died down, I mean, and part of it was in a span of 30 days, I drove, I think, 84 hours. I was in the car for 84 hours, crisscrossing between Taos, Dallas, New Orleans, New Orleans, Dallas, Taos, Taos, Dallas, New Orleans, back and forth. I moved. I packed up my entire house in 5 days. I sent a manuscript off to editors to be read. signed up for a conference. There was just a lot going on. And then it all got turned off and found myself in a rut. And I think, you know, what was interesting to me about it once I got through the initial trauma of being in it was my instinct to fight to get out of it wasn't you all's lovely, beautiful things of what's one nice thing going on today or what's this? Because that's what you do when you're present. You know, I was in this deep despair and I just was trying to use the same tools to get out of the rut that got me in it in the first place. And I think that's kind of at the heart of today's episode, right? Which is how do you use wonder, which is really the language of your heart versus your head.
What do you mean you use the same things to get out of your rut that put you in?
Oh, and you can, you know, if you Google ruts, you see all this. If you Google how to get out ruts, I made lists. I was like, here are five things I can do to get out of a rut. I'm going to commit to practice yoga every day at 9 o'clock. I'm going to journal. I'm going to go for a walk. And what all that ends up doing is you take your rut energy and you put it into planning. This is how I'm going to get out of it versus this is what I'm going to actually do. So your mind is just working in overdrive, or my mind was.
The problem with what you're saying, or the thing that strikes me, is that you can't plan your way out of a rut, and that's what you discovered. And I think that when we get into ruts, and honestly, a rut is a groove in the ground that we wear away with our feet, but it's also a path. And I think when we just go down that path over and over and over again, we get less mindful of where we are or where we're going. It's like when you get in a car and you start out to the grocery store and you end up in Metairie because you went on autopilot. And I think a lot of us are on autopilot. And I think we've all experienced that. So I think some of it is just being more self-aware about where we are in the world and what we can do to let wonder come to us.
And for me, it was this one time on one of my regular walks, I just walk outside of my door and instead of turning right, I turn left. And I knew that I was doing it, and there was a bit of mystery behind it. I wasn't quite sure where I was going to go, where I was going to end up, or what I was going to see. But again, there was this wonder of all of these things that I hadn't really paid attention to before. And I was so glad that I did it. And this was one of the days that I ended up in St. Rock Cemetery, for example. But also, I guess it's almost a metaphor for the rest of my life would be detours just in general, and that I am not at all afraid to take detours. So if it was in New York not too long ago, and I accidentally got on a subway that was express, and I didn't know, the next thing I know, I'm on 125th Street, and I was supposed to get off at 72nd or something. So I had to start that over, but I didn't get upset about it. Same thing with delayed flights or going the wrong way. All of those, to me, there's a learning experience or something to pull me out of it. I've always been very good about that. And so that was my whole thing about going left instead of right or taking another turn. And what would I discover along the way?
And what did you discover? I mean, where did that take you?
Well, on this one particular day is when I went to St. Rock Cemetery. And I don't normally go in that direction. But because I turned left and I started seeing all these other things, I decide I'm going to turn right somewhere else down. And the next thing I know, I'm at St. Rock Cemetery. I knew where I was going eventually. But I never really go into this particular cemetery.
And can you tell folks, just for listeners who aren't from New Orleans, where St. Rock Cemetery, let's bring them into where you were.
So I live in Bywater, part of New Orleans, which for those that are from, if you're looking at the St. Louis Cathedral and you're going to your right about a mile down is where we refer to it as Downriver, but that would be confusing to so many people. And so I go in. And everything here is above ground, as you know, everything in New Orleans, the cemeteries are above ground. And I walked in into a silent city, this just beautiful city. And I see some people inside looking at tombstones. And I'm normally drawn to those because I'm curious as to why are they looking at them. Was it a family member or are you just generally interested? And so as soon as they walk away, I'll go back and look and see what they were looking at. Or sometimes I'll venture off on my own, and I love the ones that are from other countries. They were born maybe in France, or my mother's family's Italy, so I've always been drawn to that. But I just was invited into their world for just a moment, and I could make that world anything I want because I don't really know what it is. All of these people have a story. And so for as long as I choose to stay in there, that's my wonder for the moment.
So there's two things I want to take from James' little mini soliloquy here, which is beautiful, and thank you. One is I just want to go back and point out that there is a human on this planet who finds wonder in flight delays. Good God, that is something to aspire to. But the way you talk about it, it reminds me, I think a rut is when we're more bureaucrat than human, where we're just punching the clock, we've got blinders on, we're doing what we said we would do, and that's it. And we get in a rut when we lose our humanity or where it starts to slip. And what I love about that story, James, is around dead people, you connect back to your humanity. And not just the humanity of your family, your ancestry, but the humanity of just being human and just being on the planet, which, by the way, is part of what New Orleans does, right? I mean, part of how New Orleans keeps us out of a rut is she helps us find the humanity and the celebration in death. And you two are really from around here, so I'll let you talk about that.
I think that New Orleans, people have said that life in New Orleans is a series of moments. And I think when you walk a path and you're not paying attention to where you're going, time becomes a continuum. It's not a series of moments. It's just one long walk that you're not paying attention to. And I think New Orleans makes you stop and enjoy the moment. Last Mardi Gras, we were sitting on St. Charles Avenue. Parades were going by. My grandkids were dancing. My daughter was sitting in a chair. The music was happening. The people were happy. And she turned at me and she looked and said, we live in a great city, don't we? So I think that's part of what the city brings to the table, is jostling us out of that blindfolded, eyes straight ahead march that all of us get on, which is the treadmill, which is the job, which is the mortgage, which is cooking dinner, raising kids, doing all those things we have to do. And I don't think you have to plan a trip to Bali to find wonder. I think if you just open your senses, that it finds you.
I love what you just said, because that's absolutely true. I mean, people make fun of me because I've got this Instagram account that, you know, I'm always like doing...
Because you're a bon vivant.
Well, I don't know, maybe. But it was just, you know, I love New Orleans. And so I'm going around taking pictures of New Orleans. But you know what inspires me and pulls me out of the rut is when someone from somewhere, and sometimes it's local, someone said something to me today and they said, I love your New Orleans life. And I don't even know if I paid that much attention to it. I don't know if I did. You know, if I'm taking a picture of your house before I walked in, and then this is where I am tonight. Or on my way to Antoine's today, you know, dinner, lunch with mother. And some, you know, people are just amazed by the beauty of this city. But also, I think being able, just like what you just described with your grandkids, what a life we have. And I think so when I do get into that rut, the comments that I'll get back from people saying something reminds me that you've got it pretty good, even in the bad times.
Because as much as we decry the digital age, all of the commotion with Instagram and Facebook and social media and aggressiveness and divisiveness and all of this, what your Instagram account does make you do with your phone is stop and look at something. And when people post on social media or when people post on Instagram, you stopped and made note of where you were in that moment. And I think social media has helped a lot of us, and especially a younger generation, do that very well. We take pictures of food. When did we ever do that before? We ate the food and we didn't pay attention. Now we look at the beauty of the food in front of us because we're posting it on our Instagram page, but that's okay.
You and I have talked about this. What I love about your approach to Instagram is about what's in front of you. And what we've talked about with New Orleans is, and I think this gets maybe back to how do we get out of ruts. So when people come to New Orleans, when you find yourself in a rut, I think part of the trick is to just surrender, just to listen and go where you may never have gone before. Because I think that's what this city teaches us.
There's a great anecdote about that. If y'all watched the TV series Tremé, the DJ gets a job as a concierge, and he is instructed to tell people to go to Bourbon Street, to go to St. Louis Cathedral, and all of the prescribed spots are driving him crazy because he's having to tell people where to go to all of these staid and obvious places. Finally, he breaks, and he tells these kids, you know what? Don't go to Saturn Lounge. Go to the, you know, and he sends them off. They disappear for 3 days. They all think they're dead. They finally show up 72 hours later, and they're like, God, damn, that was the best time we've ever had in our entire lives. So that's the unexpected, the unknown, the off the beaten path is what takes you to these moments that keep you from staying in that rut.
And, you know, I love that. That's actually my first New Orleans experience, as I came here for Mardi Gras. And this was before debit cards existed, but there weren't many ATMs.
Dating yourself, dear.
I'm old, right. And so if you saw my hair, my mother every time is like, you look more old than you did the last time I saw you. But so I was here, it was sometime in the 80s, maybe late 80s, and met some friends who lived in Covington, so across Lake Pontchartrain, and we were all here for dinner in the quarter, and walked outside. It was the Sunday before Mardi Gras. And someone literally said, show us your tits. And I was just astounded that women started lifting up their shirts.
Not New Orleans women.
Of course.
Yeah.
But anyway, my friends left me because they were partying and they just kept going. Well, we didn't really have cell phones, as I didn't have money. And it was 3 days later. I went back to their house on Ash Wednesday because I met these guys who were very good-looking guys, I should add. And they were like, honey, just come party with us. And they're like, we know where we can get cash with your ATM. We have an American Express. So you get cash. We'll use our credit card. We'll make it work for 3 days. And we did. So there's wonder.
I think there's another aspect to that, too, and that is the conviviality and community that New Orleans has that gets us out of our ruts. Stoop sitting. You know, I got kicked off a Mardi Gras float once because of the rain. Within half a block, I was on somebody's porch with a Dixie beer in one hand and a, you know, plate of red beans and rice in the other. So that sense of relationship and camaraderie in New Orleans, I think, also lifts us out of the mundane. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
No, I absolutely agree with you. I almost think like we're all in this together. And that is, not to sound like a cliche or use an overused term, but it's, but I do really feel like moments like that is, come on, come sit with us. We're going to give you something else to do. Everybody kind of just welcomes everyone, just like with the story that you just mentioned. And I almost feel like it's our responsibility to reciprocate. I'm one of these people that, and maybe it's because I'm in the hospitality business too, but if I see you on your phone on a corner trying to find something on your phone, I'm going to stop you. Now, of course, they think I'm about to rob you, but I'm there to help you to find out what you're trying to do. But that's just what we do. I'm looking to go to X restaurant. No, you don't really want to go there. Let's go here instead. But, I mean, we help each other, and I think because we want to give them that experience, like what you do every day.
So how can reaching out to folks or sharing wonder help people get out of a rut?
I think that you give them hope. And that's what I like about it. I know that if I, depending on how I word it or whatever situation they're in right now, I have just given them a degree of hope. And that's what I like. I think all they want to do is be listened to and get that one little degree of hope, that one little shining part that gives them the opportunity to know it's going to be okay. And I don't mean, again, to sound sort of strange about it, but I believe when you reach out and help them or reach out and tell them something positive about it, that they've given hope and then they're okay.
I think it might even be more mundane than that. After Katrina, we went to Houston for 6 months, as did so many other people, and we ended up in an apartment building that was new and therefore had a lot of empty apartments in it. So there were 26 New Orleans families living in that apartment building, and we went up and down the elevator every day. And one day I got in the elevator with a woman, and I started, as New Orleanians do, chatting her up. She turned at me and she said, I've been on this elevator for 3 years now. And she said, no one has ever spoken to me. You New Orleanians talk to everybody, don't you? And I think that shook her out of her rut. I don't think it necessarily gave her a moment of wonder, but it did make her stop and appreciate the moment or think about what she was doing up and down the elevator.
Yeah. And I think, you know, let's go home from there because with all, though I think the poet Mary Oliver would have love this slight amendment. Maybe let's wrap up today's episode first by saying thank you to James, thank you to New Orleans, and thank you as always to Renee, and thank you to the listeners. But let's go out somewhat like we came in, which is said to say instructions for living a life: pay attention, be astonished, talk about it, give them hope, and say hello. And until the next time we say hello, this is Brett Will Taylor, and this has been Everyday Wonder.
Thank you.
There's no other place that I'd rather be. that puts a smile on my face. The wild is a beautiful place. Such a beautiful place. Such a beautiful place.